very much for inviting me down here. I've got a long association with Cork, having travelled up and down on the train while I was new in the face studying art therapy. And here at the back. Is that better?
Yeah.
Great. So, while I was studying art therapy, the art therapy department started off up in Shamakil in the old hospital. And we had a tutor who lived in the Bear Peninsula. And he brought in a big bucket of bog one day and said, "See what you make of that." So that was in 2003, and I got fascinated with the with that process, and I've been making bog sculptures ever since. But this slide is the very first one, and it was taken with a Polaroid camera, so that shows how long ago it was. So the poem that goes with this is called Bog Woman. With wet hands I shaped her, woman. Woman made with bog, with an eon's weight of trees. Light rested. I knelt down at the source with peat-stained hands and pressed, made water lake her lap, until we both reflected in her pool, waited. It never seemed as anything but one. This woman made of bog seemed part of me. I lifted her, anointed her, with final strokes of love, made indentations where her ears might be. I touched her closed eyes and took her to my room. We shrink more as the summer closes in. My woman made of bog, the bog in me, her light as air unlifted. I feel the souls of mothers past all live in me, shriveled. Water gone, our longing is for fire. With whispers of white smoke unfurling in the dark. And mornings that leave velvet ash, self settled in the heart. A dark matter. She dredged me from the bottom of the bog, my dark wet matter lifted, carried to a place of light. She squeezed me, shaped me, draped some roots upon my head, left me oozing there to dry, I wizened. I am Magoon, ageless woman, birthed of the bog. I have nowhere to hide, yet all is hidden in me. Darkness was my world. I wanted to forget the word for light, just keep the image in my thoughts, so bright no sun could penetrate it. And yet I lived on light, I drank it in. A sword of light, my sternum. I had no wish for blood or flesh to give me life, to give me voice. Afraid I would speak the word again that split all the worlds the first time. So the next slides show the bog, first of all, where I collect all this material to make the sculptures, and then you just have a big lump of muddy stuff, like, and you start shaping it and squeezing it, and until creatures emerge from it. And this series shows the creation of the woman who's on the cover of the book. And you see she's sitting on a glass plate out of an old microwave oven, so that gives you the idea of the scale. And I had her up on the feather beds in Dublin. The book came out last September, so it's June before that, and the bog up there was so dry that I couldn't find a bog hole to sink into to take pictures. And eventually a hiker came along and said, "There's one pool left up there." So I went and submerged her in. You can see the cover of the book, you can kind of see the shadow of the plate down underneath. So that's how the cover of the book came about. And that's more or less how the sculptures come about. They just sort of your hands kind of just know what you're doing when they happen. So this next poem, those ones are when she's drying, and it was quite, you know, hot, and because of the plate was gathering a lot of heat, her hands started to rise up, you know, it was kind of a bit scary because the tightest group was lifting light and there she was. So a couple of years ago I went down to a place called Kilmacnella. It's just outside Irish town in Mayo, and I went down there as a sort of self-induced sabbatical or heritage of what I was hiding down there for a month making sculptures. And the locals down there told me this story. I think I missed one, but keep going. Yeah. That this one is called The Eighth Child. Like it only happened yesterday. Some people here still talk about a woman who gave birth to her eighth child on the bog. Her family were evicted. Not in famine times as I thought, but in the 1940s, their house torched. A man, a woman, and eight children sheltered under turf banks till good neighbours take them pity, helped them build. Got them a cow which grazed the ditches, and the father trapped some finches which he sold in little cages before everyone had radios for music in their homes. And all of that family went to live and work in England. But I wonder if their story burns again with every sob that sends its curling smoke into the sky in remembrance of that miracle, a bog child wrapped in sphagnum moss, who all her long life was called baby. Sorry, I'm switching from book to book here. New credo. I believe in water, in drips, drops, and splashes, in trickles, streams, and rivers, in lakes, seas, and oceans, even in canals. Imagine a creed you can paddle in, swim in, float in, boat on. In a tsunami of feeling, I surrender to tears, to the cleansing of urine, of drains, of gutters, of rivers culverted and running underground. I believe in the ebb and flow of it, in tides of it, in floods of it, in waves of it, in wells of it. Abandoning old shelter, I walk in this forgiving downpour, hair plastered to my head. Welcome this baptism, this new faith. I'm going to read a few poems now together. My mum had Alzheimer's disease, and through that journey I wrote all the roller coaster of emotions that I was going through at the time. And after the water poem, this one is the one I'm going to start with, called The Ultimate Gift. Carefully, she carried it across the room, a silver spoon of water. And carefully, I took it from her, not spilling a drop. Thank you, I said, and raised it slowly to my lips. My mother brings me gifts. Day by day she gives me snatches of conversation held in waves of sound forever, the words remembered. And day by day she dredges up the jokes passed on with years of telling, the script secure, she's happy when I laugh. And every day presents me from the drift of all forgotten, with pictures of her father lighting candle after candle and her mother pouring water from a glass carafe. She leaves me day by day these gifts, precious salvage of a life lost in a sea of forgetfulness. Holy Thursday. Not for the liturgical significance or for any high or holy motive, but for shame I washed her feet. For the sake of the chiropodist's olfactory senses as he studied her corn, I washed her feet. The corn, for which had they an inkling of its powers, the meteorological office would have bartered eye teeth. The corn under whose pressure she has become geriatric actress of the year. Jesus, I washed her feet, and I prayed this woman would be taken from me. There's a quote I begin with this poem from John Berger. It's from a little book called And Our Faces My Heart Brief as Photos. And this just jumped out at me. And if the past grows gradually around one, like a placenta for dying, even that's denied or trapped in the perpetual present, in a time shrunken to the moment. Again and again, for the first time, she lifts the towel, carries the towel from chair to identical chair, from room to identical room, the womb of her past denied her. Again and again, she lifts the cup, circles the rim with her finger, peering into the emptiness, and helpless as our images framed on her locker we watch. And there's no way to deliver her from this aborted death. A decent full stop. There are enough words in the world, more than enough, and all that is necessary communicates itself in silence. Should the sparkle of a sapphire speak, or be some window in your eye that tells of love? The script is done. You have said all you will say. I listen to the pregnant silence for sudden intakes of breath, sighs. Silent mother, I am learning to live with the absence, with the language beyond even that between the lines. We walk together. I synchronize my steps to yours, from garden gate to garden gate, sealed with cobwebs. We touch the locks. Scents of flowers caress us sitting in the sun, when your hand unbidden reaches out, catches mine, and we are joined to everything. Email to reincarnationrequests.com. Hi. Can you forward this to your section for bird reincarnation? Please register my wish for rebirth as a kingfisher. I read once they lined their nests with fish bones. Since then I have imagined tiny Gothic cathedrals tunneled into riverbanks, deep in that umber gloom where neon feathers lowing sits my mother. I can feel the warm orange of her breast plume penetrate my shell. What can I say to convince you I tick the boxes for kingfisher return? I love fish, color turquoise, the lapping of water, the bowing of reeds, and my mission, the possibility of sudden flight that would light the heart of that sad woman who plods along the riverbanks with her old dog. Which will come in next? Saying in the introduction, I've belonged to the Rachmaninoff Writers Workshop in Dublin And it's been going for 26 years now since we made it, I think about 25, it's now 26. But one of the founding members of the group was a man called Warren O'Connell, and he was in his 80s when he died, and this poem is dedicated to him. A right heart. At the bus stop where you often stood, the feeling there's an absence happens, and stooped old men still roam the town and walk with sticks and carry bags and take it in turn to startle me to sorrow. Your empty house echoes. I choose your bellows as a keepsake to remind me of your last and labored breaths. When eyes glazed, you held my hand and repeated the five words, I will not be afraid. But I need another heart at the right side of my chest, a hollow house where loss can set up home, because I am afraid that when this feeling goes, like the dead, you could become distant. I have a memory that goes back a long way. I believe I was 6 at the time, and my sister, who was 4, was with me as well, and she has the same memory. We lived in the Liberties in Dublin and around the Coombe area, so new houses were, you know, a total mystery to us. Like, there was tenement houses all around us. So my cousin was getting married, and he got this keys of a new house in Walthamstown, so we went up with my aunt, apparently to measure it for curtains, and there was no lights in the house. And this is the last poem in the book, but I had the book published and all before I realised it's the same kind of as the title, Lifting Light. It's called Illuminator. In my father's house there are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Perhaps it was a comfort to your sons and grandsons who travelled from the two ends of this earth to carry her. But I remember more than 50 years ago how we went with you along St. Peter's Road with your new keys. And we crossed the threshold of a house that smelt of wood and plaster and wet paint, and how our voices echoed. And we marvelled at your strength as you lifted your young wife and showed her how you carried her from room to room. And she caught each swinging socket to screw in a solid bulb until every corner of your first home was filled with light. The colour images I've been seeing so far come from a series of paintings I did. In 2009, I made a promise to myself that I'd do a painting every single day. So I kept up to it. So when I was doing the book, I had a resource of 365 plus images to choose from. And the images were assigned to the poems after the poems were written. But since the book was published, I start going back over the images again and doing it the other way around, and taking an image and writing a poem about it. So this one is called Blue Children. You know that pink glow you see under your eyelids in the sun, and how you welcome it, a womb-like feeling, warm, and ask it to invade you and fill your every hollow. So all along the length of you, sleep hovers. Every curve of you, the night coats, covers you with a blanket, blue. And that is how they enter you, your children, make their homes in your bones. They come to you first in dreams. So I'm going to read now some poems about my family to prove that I just don't write esoteric stuff that nobody understands about Bob. This is actually one of my favourite of my own poems. It's called A Bowie. No weary wise men trailed east of Hollis Street the night that you were born. No smelly camels were tethered through the railings. No telltale whiff of frankincense lingered in the lifts. No dusting of golden sand puzzled cleaners on the early shift. There was no Alleluia chorus. But pigeons came from Ringsend to coo on the windowsills. And the morning light lay gently on me and lit the orchids tied in blue, and I lifted you again, getting used to the weight of the gift of another child born under a coincidence of stars. This is about another one of my sons. I have 7 children, 4 boys and 3 girls. And this fella is the youngest. He has a band called Half of Me in Google. Bringer of Light. How could I have known it would involve delivering you and hired lights to live events, or watching while the strobes create staccato time frames of your movements on the stage? I try to catch the words while fans with camera phones held high light up your face. When 19 years ago we named you Luke, bringer of light, it was a shot in the dark. And not only have I got 7 children, I have 6 and a half grandchildren. Well, maybe 2/3 now. three of my grandchildren live in Germany, and the 2 2/3 in England. When the first of them was born in Heidelberg, I wrote this. Attachment. You travel to me first through cyberspace, my pixel baby. Minutes old, your tiny head pressed to my firstborn's breast. When we press print, you're born again by Dell. Impatiently, we watch your head appear. When golden framed, we pass you hand to hand, our word expands. With parcels tied in pink and squashed in bags, and cloudscape like vast nursery below, Himmel, Himmel hurts your grandma lands with Google maps of wheelie autobahns. In a wave of longing to be there, I race to feel your downy hair against my face. When the next one was to be born, I was over there a month before he arrived, waiting for him. And I learned a new word. I should have explained the German words in the last. Himmel is heaven. And Hertz, I wrote in the poem as the car hire company, but I believe it means heart. And this is the word I learned for this poem, Oma, and it's the word for a grandmother. 8 full moons have rounded her as the child within her grows. One last phase of moon we sit and watch the roses grow. The buds blood orange, the flowers a salmon hue, petaling to pink. Their open portals visited by bees who know the secrets of hidden chambers. I breathe a new word, Oma, a meditation I wrap with coloured wools around his hair. As needles click and tiny garments grow, centimetre by centimetre. I save the velvet petals as they fall. Dried, they hold some essence of this time I carry home across the sea. Where absent, I will still be Oma. And words do most things for us, but there's no word for this. So see, can you come up with one? I call this no word, and when one of my 4 lads went to Perth, I wrote this. You have carried your stuff to the attic, nestled boxes there under the eaves. The clock reset to Perth time. In your empty room ticks away. I worship the gods of instant texts, you only a finger touch away. But I miss the smell of links that lingered in the jacks. The sudden burst of singing in the hall. The chats as you hammer and nail what's broken. The basketball net on the wall. Immigrants swirl round the globe now. Immigrants come here as our people go. Diaspora is a buzzword for the scattered. But I've searched and can find no word for those of us left lost at home. So I'm going to finish with this one. And it's called Nothing Is Lost. And it's kind of an atonement for all of the bog I've wrapped all over the country. It's also an instruction to whoever's left to bury me. Nothing is lost. Eggshells saved and crushed. Stray hairs from my brush. Vacuum cleaner's bag of dust. Dried roots of potted plants. The mowings of the lawn. The brittle leaves I swept up last September. I keep carrot tops, potato peels, pineapple crowns, pepper seeds, banana skins unzipped, rinds of oranges, lemon pips, tomatoes that are bruised, wrapped in yesterday's news. To the compost bin all goes to feed the worms. By some trick of transformation in the dark and over time, all colours change to brown, decompose and make new earth that crumbles in the hand, feels warm to touch. So when my soul and body split, and the time comes I am fodder for recycling, weave me a willow box, dig me a pit, and cover me with soil of my own making.